Hi, everyone. Welcome to the 18 Summer Show. We are your hosts, Jim
and Jamie Shields. We're here to help you bring family back.
In the last decade, we've helped thousands of families create the family life that you have always wanted.
We give you simple solutions on how you can ignite your family life and succeed in both business and at home.
And please remember, time is of the essence. You only have 18 summers to truly connect with your children.
So let us help you make the most of it.
Greetings, 18 Summers Tribe. Jim Shields back here again with another episode of our podcast, Candid Conversations. And I'm excited today because this is a mutual friend of Dr. Daria. And I know a lot of you have listened to that interview. This is our new friend, Dr. Kelly Fraden. And she is a Harvard grad, a pediatrician, a mom. And I thought this was really interesting. She works directly with the New York City school systems. And her specialty is working with children and families who have multiple complex medical issues. And that's something obviously that's heavy today. We're both from up New York. My dad grew up in the Bronx. She's there most of the days trying to help families. So Dr. Fraden, thank you for being here with us today, first off.
Yes, thanks for having me. I'm excited to speak with you.
Yeah, there's a lot of things going on. Obviously, seeing that you have all these expertise and you're an expert advice giver, which we're going to get into that with your blog, What Advice I Give My Friends. I'd love that. But obviously working in the New York school systems right now with all of the changes, all of the things I'm hearing from family and friends up there and just really nationally, there's a lot of concern and a lot of parents are feeling helpless. And the fact that you work with families that have some really deep situations on multiple levels medically, I think gives you a better position of advice than most. So for our tribe, a lot of them I know from the notes and the messages I've gotten, they're struggling and they need a starting point. And so I wanted to ask you, what aspect of children's wellness do you think parents should be focusing on right now as like a starting point, as a core to resettle and reground?
That's a great question. And of course, the answer is going to vary depending on how old your kids are. But sure. I think at the heart of it, the mental health is what I'm worried about most for our children these days. So parents are anxious and the children sense that. Children's schedules are disrupted and their routines and their support systems are not happening. So how do we protect their mental health? I think the first level of it is ensuring that they get adequate sleep, physical activity, that they have a chance to, create and connect on a daily basis, and prioritizing those simple things, maybe things that people are doing anyway, but they're protective for your well-being. Yeah. We know that if you don't have physical activity and you don't have sleep, you're going to feel more anxious or more depressed. And so those simple things can be really important, especially when so many of our kids are on screens or devices or not having access to their normal sports. This can be like harder to implement than normal.
Sure. And almost like it's like that compression where they're not having time for that pressure relief valve. If they don't have that, it's almost like it's collecting, for lack of a better term. And the parents, it's happening to them. And I think you hit something that has come back to us, Dr. Fraden, time and time again. We set the leadership tone. And as parents, if there are rightfully some things to be concerned about? I think absolutely. But how do we best lead then? How do we let our kids know? Do we have certain conversations off to the side? What do you feel on that for setting that leadership tone as the parents?
Right. So as you know, I wrote this book, Parenting in a Pandemic, that has a lot of specific advice about this very topic. So one thing I think is that we prioritize ourselves as parents. For some reason, our culture, like you were saying, we don't always put ourselves and our needs first, but you set a tone for your family. And if your children see you not taking good care of yourself, they may not take good care of themselves and understand these things in the same way. I think finding developmentally appropriate ways to communicate with your children is really important, as is having a good plan with your co-parent or your caregivers who are involved with your children. Yeah. So There's so many families who have struggled with tension because one person is more worried or one person is less worried. And I think sometimes when you have that tension, it's up a notch from other disagreements you have because of the life and death nature of the fear around the illness. So I think we really need to invest time and energy into getting on the same page with the people who we're collaborating with during this time. Because if you don't feel safe, it's going to be hard for you to feel happy and to be effective and engaged with your family or with your work or whatever else is important to you.
Yeah, and I love that. I mean, I think safety is the starting point to be able to move in the right direction. What if you had to think of one or two things, what is the biggest mistake parents are making right now with pandemic parenting? What do you think the biggest mistake is so that they can know, okay, I got to do the 180 opposite of this, but you're seeing it repeat all the time, if there's something.
Yeah, I think one of the hardest, most common things I see happening to parents right now is the ping-ponging with the news. Because the news job is to get you to watch and sell the news. And they've played a really important role in disseminating information during this pandemic, some news outlets more so than others. But I worry that it's a little sensationalized. So when we're taking in a lot of news, it's easy to feel fear. I think people feel more in control, like they can have a plan when they feel updated and informed. And so there's certainly a role for staying on top of things. I've told my friends to pick a number that you follow in your community, like maybe percent positive tests, and keep an eye on it once every week or two. You don't really need to be looking at it every day, and you don't need to be freaking out when every new headline comes out, because we are still learning more, but we already know enough about this pandemic that it shouldn't change our general approach to taking care of our kids.
I agree. We had a saying through this because we didn't write a book like you, which was fantastic. We had a small, like, 5-point thing that we just kept going back to. And one of our things was, look, if you watch the news for 15 to 20 minutes a day, or maybe up to a half hour, you're informed. If you're watching it for 2+ hours a day, you're infected. Because it's just, as you said, the job is to sensationalize sometimes. And if you're going up and down and up and down, it's hard to control that and not have it slide down to our children. So we said, do you want to be informed or do you want to be infected? That was kind of our advice. And I love what you said. You don't need to check the statistics every day or even every other day, which I think can again, put you on its own little hamster wheel that that can close you off from, as you said, your normal parenting.
Right. Yeah. And I think there are other ways that we can simplify how we think about this time. So when you're having these discussions with your loved ones about how you're approaching it, if you have like a plan or an algorithm that you can follow, like pretty much anything we can do outside in New York, we're lucky because we have low rates right now. It's like less than 1%. So pretty much anything we can do outside, we're fine to do. Nobody's having big gatherings here, but that makes it easier when decisions come up for us to all be on the same page and know what's happening. It's like, oh, it's inside. We're not doing that right now, but it's outside. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Very simple plan, right? Very simple plan. And which I love about your, let's talk a little bit about your, the advice I'd give my friends. It's funny. I've had a real estate investment company for over 20 years. And when I work with different investors, they push me and we become friends. And I would say something similar. I'd say, look, if my brother-in-law was coming to me about investing advice, this is what I would say, and that's on the investment side, but you're saying from the health and wellness and family side, okay, as a pediatrician, this is the advice I would give my friends. I think that just disarms people to say, okay, there's really no motive here. This is the real advice. So I love that. And my wife, who couldn't be on with us today, she joins us on the podcast sometimes. Her and Dr. Daria struck up a good friendship. She said, will you please ask Dr. Fraden, what as her friend, what advice would she give me right now with the kids, with with, obviously, there's cultural clashes right now, the election, and the going back to school. You know, how do you prep? How do you prep for all that right now? Like, what would be your friend advice for prepping for that? Because unfortunately, as you know, 18 summers, we love summertime. I know you're having a great time out in the Hamptons,
yes,
but
absolutely.
it's coming close to an end. And so we're all kind of turning our head to that prep of the fall, but we need to do it. So what would be your friend advice for dealing with all the cultural and health clashes right now, along with preparing our kids for school? What would you suggest to people?
Right. Well, you know, I think we alluded to the fact earlier that you really do have a responsibility to set the tone for your family. So kids will follow your lead. And if your children, hopefully, maybe by now people have made the decision what they're doing with school. But as you approach the logistics, your attitude can really set the tone. So maybe as a parent, you're not excited that your child has to wear a mask in school or has to do virtual school, but you need to get to a place where you can have some enthusiasm and be a positive influence in your child's day. Because if your attitude about the situation is not positive, it's gonna affect them. So we all have a sense of guilt or sometimes anger about the fact that this isn't what we planned. Yeah. And I think as parents, we have to give ourselves a few minutes to process our own feelings so that we can be intentional about the way we guide our family.
I love that. And what about, obviously this always comes up, the teens. Let's say there's teens that have to be virtual schooled. They're not happy about it. What advice would you give on that? Hey, my teens are really gotten grumpy teenitis. They're a little edgy because they don't want to do this. And nor can I blame them at that age. Being shut off from social would have been devastating. How do you deal with that grumpy teen aspect? Right now?
That is a great question. You know, because I feel, you know, all parents, we have this desire to fix it and make them feel better, but we can't fix this. We can't just do something to make it better.
Yeah.
So, you know, the bright side of it, the flip side is that you have more time and attention from your teen than you would have otherwise. So this is your opportunity to listen. And that can be really hard, especially when it's everyday negative things you're hearing from them. But they need you to be an empathetic listener, and that's how you provide support, and you get connected. And then you need to provide support for yourself so you can process all that. And then the next step of it is helping them cope. So, you know, this is not going to be the first setback your teenagers have as they grow to be adults. You know, maybe someone will break up with them, or they'll not get the job they want, or they'll lose a lot of money. Somehow they're going to have setbacks in their life. And we can use this as an opportunity to teach them coping skills and ways that they can overcome times that are tough. You know, we can normalize that struggling is okay, but we can, you know, teach them ways to make themselves feel better, whether it's, you know, as simple as distraction, trying to find a task that you can feel engaged in, you know, whether it's creating something or doing a puzzle or building something or writing a song or, you know, something that they can feel engaged in, sometimes can distract them from negative emotions. Or if they really are suffering, you know, you also may have to consider finding other outlets for them to get support, whether it's, you know, like a professional mental health support.
Yes. Yeah. Just start that. And I love the fact that you said, start by listening. I mean, it's so simple, but so many of us don't do that. And what we've seen happen, and I'd like to say I was pretty good right off the bat, but I definitely wasn't perfect. Where I think sometimes the parents will say, oh, so you're just missing a few social things and a sports game. I'm trying to hold two businesses together here and do this, where we actually belittle the situation as a 40-year-old adult, you know, looking at through the eyes of a 40-year-old adult instead of a 15-year-old who, that is a big deal to them. But you didn't say, well, shut down and put it into perspective, things aren't that bad. You say, no, let me listen, because they have some valid concerns. Mm-hmm. We can't look through 40-year-old eyes. We need to go back to 15-year-old eyes that we used to have. And I think listening, because I had heard that, you know, sit and listen, don't solve. And when I started to listen to that, I started to think about me, sophomore year of high school, going, man, yeah, right now it might not feel like a big deal. It would have been torturous. It would have been terrible. It would have been frightening, but I wouldn't have wanted to admit it was frightening as a, you know, as a sophomore in high school. So I love that fact, and I wanted to reiterate it. Just start by listening. And
it's not easy, though. I mean, I talk about this in the book that right when the pandemic started, you know, I didn't talk to my kids about it. And I didn't talk to my kids about it because of me, not because of them, because I knew what to say, but I didn't want to open the box of hearing them with their concerns and their worries, because I didn't have a lot of bandwidth to handle it.
Yeah.
And that's the tough thing as a parent, you know, your kids depend on you to process, help them process some of their struggles. And if you're struggling yourself, it's like, how are you supposed to have the bandwidth to do that? So
exactly.
It's a really tough situation parents are in.
Yeah. And I think all families, and something that we came up with the first week is the mantra, it's not their fault. And that goes on both sides, saying when we would be, you know, the first week, I remember being the first few days feeling worked up, feeling edgy. I'm trying to help entrepreneur friends whose businesses are literally being just completely shut off. And I'm feeling stressed. And if your kids are acting a little teenish or you know, we have toddlers still that are screaming, you're getting short with them. And I had to remind myself, hey, this is not their fault. Work's been brought home, school's been brought home, but it's not their fault. And don't act in ways that shows you're actually blaming them. And I've gotten to talk with some families on some virtual events and say, hey, let me ask you, if you're between the age of 12 and 17, you know, raise your hand, lots of hands go up, and I say, do you think this is your parents' fault, this whole pandemic, this whole situation? And no hands go up.
Right.
I said, great. So we're all on the same page. You got to remember that, though. You know, we're doing our best. We've never dealt with this. Our parents never dealt with this. And maybe grandparents, you know, for Spanish flu a bit, but nothing like this. I said, so we're, you know, just remember, it's not our fault either. And I think that one thing helped in our house, at least, bring the guard down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's a starting point where we could listen, where we could fill in more activities, where we could say, all right, well, what are our values? Okay, what are the things we still can do? You know, once things, we could still go to the beach across the street. We could still do this. We could mm-hmm. still plan some outdoor adventures that were local. So it was a starting point. Didn't cure, but it again, let's reground before we try to move forward.
Yes. And along those lines, especially for teens, but even for school-aged kids, it can be really helpful to be authentic and honest with your kids about where you are. And, you know, in the book, I talk about doing it in family meetings to be like, as a parent, to share, I'm having a tough week because I'm slammed with work, but, you know, we could make it better if maybe we find time to go on a bike ride on Wednesday, you know, and it gives the children love to be treated like equals. And we can't do that in a lot of ways because we had to tell them what to do and set some structure. But in some ways we can, you know, give them the respect of sharing why things are the way they are and putting it in context. And that can make things easier for them in a way.
I agree. And I love the fact, I mean, again, just because you went to Harvard and are a pediatrician and have a big expert following, you said to your kids, I'm struggling this week. I'm having a tough week. And I think that's so healthy because our kids can relate to us then. If you said, yes. I don't struggle, I'm not worried, I've got it figured out, I'm a doctor. And you said, no, I'm having a struggle this week. It's a pretty hard week. I'm feeling overwhelmed. Can we go for a bike ride? I just think how better to relate and get closer to your kids than to actually admit. I used to do that, I think, back in the day where I put up that bravado image, like I could take a bullet off my shoulder and I would just brush it off. And I realized, with my sons, how could they relate to me? Because what six-year-old hasn't been afraid or worried or anxious about something they didn't understand? So I just love the fact that you said that. So thank you for saying, yeah, I have hard weeks, but I say this could help if you guys can know I have a hard week. First of all, you know, it's not you I'm mad at. And secondly, let's do something simple like a bike ride just to help. Again, I love when the solutions don't be as complicated as the problem we're facing necessarily.
Right. It goes down to, it's been such a buzzword recently, but the idea of a growth mindset. And it's like, we want that for our children, for them to take risks and do things where they might fail. But we have to model that also as parents. It's like, you know, I'm trying to work out every day, but today I just don't have the time, like, and I'm not going to meet my goal, but I'm not going to fall apart about it. I'm just going to try again tomorrow.
Exactly. I love that. Taking advice we would give, right? Advice we would give. So actually, and that is kind of brings us to, as most of our crowd knows, our signature question, which I was excited to ask you with, again, your expertise and experience. So, you know, let's look years and years and years ahead to Dr. Kelly Fraden at the age of 75, you know, hopefully still going to the beach, having a great time. But what advice do you think your 75-year-old self would give to you today? I mean, with all the stuff going on, it's kind of a different way of looking at it, but that older, wiser self that, you know, you're going to be someday, what do you think that person would give to you now? What advice?
So I think it would be that we have to find a way to see this pandemic as a gift, that the time with our families that we're getting now, it has value. And despite all the struggles and the stress in coping with it, we should use this as an opportunity to enjoy being with our family.
I love it. Pretty simple, powerful, potent, and true. This is a gift. This is an opportunity. It won't come back. As you know, the name of our company is 18 Summers because the statistics show the average person will spend 85% of the time they ever have with their children by the end of the 18th summer because time delineates so quickly with college and growing up. And if that one thing is done, then like you said, this is a gift. This we did seize the opportunity. Not that there won't be struggles, but I love that advice. That's a good one. So we'll be drawing that up with a nice picture of you and sending that to you, like we like to do to our people, your 75-year-old self. But but I really appreciate that, and I think that's simple wisdom where people can feel overwhelmed, and it's really it's justified optimism, I think, when we hear someone with your experience, what you're going through, being in the heart of New York City and dealing with things, to have such clear, simple, sage advice. So I really appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah. And I just want to say, I know that people are really struggling out there, especially in places where the cases are surging. It's really a scary time. So, you know, that's why I wrote this book, The Parenting in a Pandemic, because I thought I could share advice to help people feel more in control and have less stress during this time. So if you're struggling, either, you know, check out my feed on Instagram or check out the book, and hopefully that will help make it even a little bit better.
Yeah. Where can people find you? The book is on Amazon, I suppose, so they can find the book right Amazon.
On Instagram, I'm at Advice I Give My Friends, and my website's the same, adviceigivemyfriends.com. And then the book, Parenting in a Pandemic, is available as an ebook, like for Kindle or Apple Books, on Amazon, and the audiobooks should be coming out soon.
Oh, good. I like audiobooks. Those are my favorites. So
a lot of people do. So
yeah, good. Well, we'll look forward to that. So I highly recommend to our whole group reaching out to Dr. Fraden. Again, good friends with Dr. Daria. That's how we met. And this is the exact type of guidance and info we're trying to look for selfishly for our own family, but to share with our community. So I really appreciate you coming on, you know, while you're out there in the summer, having fun, taking the time to be on this interview with us. We do really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
No, you're welcome. Well, hopefully we get to see you soon, and enjoy your time out there at the beach.